Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 7:17, and an article in the New York Times says that it seems that every few years a new anonymous messaging platform enters the market, rapidly gains a fan base, investments and media attention. It seems that we can only be honest when we're anonymous. I just think it's the other way around, but I'd love to hear some of the research around it. Are we more honest when we're anonymous, hiding behind an anonymous name on social media, or are we perhaps just a little bit less so? Professor Anton Harber, Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression. Good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
So it's a very, very strange thing. I find it very difficult when people communicate with me through an anonymous, whatever it would be, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or anything else, because you have no idea what agenda is, who they are, and why they're engaging in this conversation. Give me a sense of this.
Anonymity is very much a double-edged sword, you know. We develop rules about how we engage with people around us. Social rules of interaction, politeness, in other words, to enable us to live together. So we temper what we say, hopefully thoughtfully, because that enables us to communicate and live together. These are sort of social norms and rules that enable us to live as a society. Anonymity allows you to drop those rules, which can be great because you can be more honest than you might be if you're too polite. You can say things that you might otherwise, but it also allows you to be incredibly rude, destructive, and harmful. So, as it says, there's been a number of attempts to create social media that allows for anonymity and encourages it, but they never last because they get overtaken by maliciousness and brutality and antisocial behavior.
Well, that's what I always wonder, because I don't know who made up this nonsense that honesty is the best policy. It isn't always. It might sometimes be the best policy, but it isn't always the best policy. To walk up to somebody and tell them that they're ugly is honest, but it's also deeply offensive and unacceptable and hurtful. So honesty isn't something that's just this aspiration. If we all walked around being honest all day and said what we honestly thought and honestly felt, society would fall apart.
Well, that's absolutely correct. You know, we don't say to a friend, your haircut is really ugly. We say to a friend, you know, I've got a really nice new hairdresser. You should look at using. Or, you know, this isn't your best hair. Well, you know, we have social practices that enable us to interact, minimizing the hurtfulness. But when you're anonymous, you take that away. And yes, that allows you sometimes to say things that need to be said. But it also allows the kind of terrible, harmful brutality we often see on social media behind anonymity, and that's destructive and antisocial. And you're quite right that one cannot understand many statements or assertions or communications without knowing who and where it comes from.
I would imagine there's a place for it in terms of perhaps political fear and concern. And I think, you know, we live in a country where we are blessed that we do have freedom of expression. So you can give a political opinion or otherwise, although obviously we do know that some whistleblowers have come to harm. It's imperfect, but it is largely very, very positive in the sense that we won't be prosecuted or persecuted rather for having an opinion, a political opinion. But many countries around the world, people don't have that luxury, which means that it might be important to hide their identity.
Well, that's absolutely true. So in conditions of censorship, anonymity can become very important. And certainly social media, for example, has allowed the expression of opinions for example, during the Arab Spring or some of the Eastern European rebellions of recent years, allowed people to organize and express themselves in ways they can't because of control and censorship. So you're absolutely right that we don't ban anonymity because it does allow people to speak out against censorship and control, and it allows for whistleblowing. So anonymity can be absolutely critical to enable whistleblowing to expose corruption, wrongdoing, and misgovernance. So I'm not suggesting we should have no anonymity, but we just need to manage and temper it. You know, newspapers used to run anonymous letters in print, but it would go to a human being who would look and say, well, this is something worth printing, or it's just abusive. The problem we deal with in social media is that you can mechanically create bots that are designed precisely to produce and reproduce malicious, destructive material.
And then, of course, is a problem. What happens when you're engaging, or when one is engaging with somebody on social media, and they are anonymous? And the subject matter doesn't really call for it. I find it's a very, very difficult conversation to have because you're vulnerable. In other words, your face is shown and your history is exposed in terms of who you are, but you have no idea what you're dealing with on the other side. And that makes any form of discussion very, very difficult.
Absolutely. It's very difficult to have a discussion with somebody who's anonymous, most times, not all the time. But, you know, there are times and places for anonymity, but on social media, it almost always gets overtaken by antisocial behavior.
I'd love your thoughts and your reaction, please. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think, as a rule, it is a good thing, it is a bad thing? Do you engage with people who are anonymous, and has this caused you any stress at all? Professor Anton Harbour, thank you as always, Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression.